Psalm chapter 85. Lord, verse 1, Thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. I'm just glad your sin's covered tonight. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Verse 6, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. The text tonight is verse number 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. If correctly read, that's Psalm chapter number 85, 13 verses. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your presence. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you, Lord, that we have a purpose to be here at prayer meeting tonight. Lord, we've come together to pray. We've come together to praise your holy name. We've come together to preach the word of God, our Father. Lord, that you might help us, our Father, and encourage us. Lord, one of the reasons I believe you bless the prayer meeting is you know people are tired. You know they're working. You know they've had a busy week. Yet, Lord, they set aside an hour or so, our Father, to come together with your people. Now, Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, would you touch our people tonight that aren't feeling well? And Lord, tonight, would you touch the hearts of those, our Father, that do not yet know you? And God, I pray that, Lord, that you'll just keep folks coming, Lord, that need that touch. And help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your will and way in Jesus' name. All of God's people said,
Amen.
I was reading my Bible this morning, and I believe I started this morning, well, it was a multiple of 7, so you got 70, 77, 84. I started in Psalm 85 and read 7 chapters this morning. And God spoke to my heart in verse number 10, and a lot of it was having to do with Sunday. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And I just had a time sitting there this morning, and I began to think about times in the Bible where that mercy and truth met together, and where righteousness and peace kissed each other. And I want to share with you a few of them tonight, and I pray that it'll be a blessing in your hearing. The first thing I thought about was the first Adam. And Adam and Eve, of course, were told in the Garden of Eden. We're not going to take the time to read all the scriptures, but just share with you tonight as God shared with me this morning. And I thought about Adam and Eve and how that they messed up. They They listened to old Slewfoot instead of listening to the Lord. Amen. And I'll say this to you tonight. When Satan come and he entered into that serpent, he started out not telling them to deny the Word of God, but just trying to help them along that they might doubt the Word of God. You remember he used this phrase, "Yea, hath God said." I want to share this with you tonight. Everything in this book, God said it. Amen. This Holy Bible. And I'll say something else. God meant it. A lot of people act like God didn't mean what he said. Well, he meant what he said. And he said what he meant. And I appreciate the Word of God. But Adam and Eve, they sinned. They ate of that tree and plunged the whole human race into sin. See, the Bible said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God said, "All of you sin." And I thank God there come a day in my life when I realized God was right. I realized the truth. The truth was that I was the sinner and he was the Savior. And I believe that when Adam and Eve did that, and of course they sewed the fig leaves together, and that's a tight sort of religion, just trying to do good things and good deeds and cover up what's happened in their life. But I'm telling you, there's only one covering. I like what the choir sang at the end of that song. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Amen. And we understand tonight that the blood of Jesus is where we can find that forgiveness. And so what did God do? God came there in the cool of the day and he called to Adam and he said, "Where art thou?" I love the Bible, don't you? God wasn't asking a question because he needed some information. God was asking a question because he wanted Adam to know. God already knew where Adam was. God already knew what Adam had done. But he wanted Adam to know where Adam was. And he wanted Adam to know what Adam had done. Because God, you see, wanted to walk with him again. And he wanted to talk with him again. And you say, "Pastor, when they came to the realization of the truth of sin, what happened?" I thank God that I can tell you tonight that mercy and truth met together. God, I think we mentioned this on Sunday. He slayed the animals, made coats of skins. Blood had to be shed so that they could have fellowship. I'm not real smart tonight, and the Bible doesn't say distinctly, but I believe that Adam and Eve taught their children. I believe they taught Cain and Abel. Beloved, that it's not what we can do that would help us to have fellowship with God, but it's what, beloved, God requires, and God required blood. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, you understand, and then Abel brought the firstling of his flock, and God was satisfied with that sacrifice. And all through the Old Testament, it was blood, it was blood. I'll tell you, I don't know, there's two things that's really caught my attention reading through this time. The wars and the bloodiness of the wars. But then the sacrifice and the bloodiness. I mean, they will talk about thousands of sheep and thousands of oxen. I'm telling you, it was a mess. Amen. And that was to put off the sin of the people from year to year. And then come Jesus. Jesus didn't come to put off our sin. Jesus come to put away our sin. John the Baptist stood on the bank of the Jordan River and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You say, "Pastor, what are you saying?" I'm saying that in the very first book of the Bible, the very first man and woman that God created, beloved, listen, when the truth came out about sin, here come mercy from the Savior. Amen. And I thank God that mercy and truth have met together over and over and over since then in the Word of God. And thank God in my life, there was a night when mercy and truth came together. I'm telling you, beloved, as long as we're denying our need, that as long as we're denying our sin, then, beloved, we can't get help. But when we come to the truth of that, amen, then God can help us. I believe tonight, you know, turn with me, if you will, for just a moment to the book of Jonah. Turn over there with me tonight. Let me just share a few things with you tonight from the book of Jonah. I'll keep my place here in the book of Psalms. I think it's a wonderful thing to just think about the Bible and the things that God has taught us along the way. You remember, now Jonah's God's man. Jonah's God's prophet. We've given you an example with the sinner. Now I want to give you an example with the saint where mercy and truth have met together. You see, God told Jonah, he said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. And he said, I want you to cry out against it. You remember that in Jonah chapter number 1. Well, what did Jonah do? The Bible said in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something tonight. You can't get away from him. Amen. You can't outrun him. And you can't get away from him. Amen. It don't matter where you go. David said, if I made my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Amen. Listen, Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish and he paid the fare thereof. And he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, later on in the book of Jonah, we find out that Jonah, he just really didn't like the Ninevites. And he knew that God was a merciful God. He didn't want to go down there and preach because he knew, beloved, that there was a good chance if he went down there and preached that those people would repent and that God would have mercy on them. You say, what kind of preacher, amen, was Jonah? I believe he was God's prophet, amen. But yet, beloved, there come a time in his life when mercy and truth had to meet together. God sent that great fish. You know the story about the people there that were on the ship. And beloved, the storm came. And they all realized, beloved, the lot fell on Jonah. Amen. And Jonah said, it's me. I'm running from God. And they threw him overboard. And the Bible said that God prepared a great fish. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, watch in chapter number 2. When the truth comes out, here comes mercy. Amen. Truth and mercy are met together. Look what he said. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And he cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight. Yet I will, look at this, I will look, I circled this word in the Word of God again. Listen, when you get saved by the grace of God, that's not the end of the journey. That's the beginning of the journey. And there's going to need to be some agains in your life, amen, and in your Christian experience. Mercy and truth is not just going to meet in that salvation experience, but mercy and truth is going to meet you all the way to the house, amen. Whenever we get sideways with God like John, Jonah did. Aren't you glad? Thank God he don't just leave us to ourselves. Amen. But he leaves us at least the 99. He comes out there and he gets that one. Amen. And helps them back to that place of blessing. The Bible said the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head, about my head. I went down into the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me,
I remember the Lord. You say, what's old Jonah doing? I'm telling you what he's doing, beloved. He's getting to the truth of the matter. Amen. And when he gets to the truth of the matter, then God can have mercy on him. The Bible said here, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Then they observed, they that observed lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You know what Jonah's doing? He's not forsaking his mercy. He's getting truthful with God. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what, listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. If you'll get truthful with God, you can have revival in your soul, whether anybody else is having revival or not. Amen. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, O Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. The Word of God said here, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that thou hast, that I have vowed. He said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I was in Bible school down at Liberty years ago, and there's a little boy about 7 or 8 years old. I was telling the story of Jonah, and I got to this point right here, and I said, and what happened? This little boy throwed his hand up. His name was Aaron. I said, Aaron, what happened? He said, he throwed up. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, listen. That backslidden prophet made that whale sick. Amen. And he made God sick. But thank God, beloved, listen. Whenever, beloved, he come to the truth. Listen, I'm in trouble with God. And he admitted that truth. Here come mercy. And beloved, God spit him out on the shore. Amen. And give him another. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad God will give you another opportunity to go on and do something for God? Aren't you glad failure's not final tonight? Amen. But God will help us. Amen. Go on another mile. Oh, beloved friend, tonight I think about a man in the Bible by the name of Peter. Peter, he told Jesus, he said, listen, though all forsake you, I'll go with you. And Jesus told Peter, he said, listen, he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. I'm telling you, those little maidens, they come out there where Peter was, says, you're one of them. You're one of them Galileans. He said, oh, no, I don't know him. And the third time he did that, the third time he denied the Lord, the Bible said the cock crew. And I'm telling you, I believe that man's heart fell in his shoes. Amen. Oh, glory. Oh, God, just give me something. When he realized how right Jesus was and how wrong he was. Hey, that's a happy day in your life when you realize how right Jesus is and how wrong you are. Amen. And how wrong I am. You say, Pastor, what happened? Well, go with me to John, please. Over towards the end of John. I thank God we have a scripture that says mercy and truth are met together. Amen. And I thank God there's example after example of it in the Word of God. In John chapter 21, Jesus down, or John down in chapter 21 and verse number 3, Peter said, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught, what's the next word? Nothing. You know what Jesus said? He said, without me. That tells me, Brother Jason, right there, never thought about it before. They went out there without him. They didn't go out there on his order, amen. If he tells them to launch out into the deep, that's one thing. But they went out, I go a-fishing. I'm going to tell you that I's got a lot of people in trouble, amen. I's the middle letter in sin. I's the middle letter in pride. And that I, beloved, has got a lot of people in trouble. He said, I go a-fishing. They went forth and entered into a ship. They, the others, went with him. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? He's asking another question. How many believes tonight he knew they hadn't caught nothing? I believe Jesus just couldn't wait for that bunch of professional fishermen. Amen. to pull in there, and they've cleaned their nets now, and they've got a mess, and ain't got no fish. And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, whom Jesus loved, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Old John recognized right quick, they ain't but one knows where the fish is. Oh, Lord, have mercy tonight. Amen. What if when we get ready to go out visiting, we realize there ain't but one that knows where the fish is? And ask him to show us the way. Say amen. You know what I do? I believe he'd do that, don't you? And the Bible said he girded his fisher's coat. He was naked. He jumped into the sea, cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, I don't know, beloved, listen, where Jesus got the fish. I don't know if he had a pole. I don't know if he just talked to them. I don't know what happened, amen, but I know he had the fish and he had it ready. He had the fire, he had it ready. He had the bread, he had it ready. I've eaten some good fish, but these boys eat perfect fish. I guarantee if Jesus cooked it, it was perfect, amen. Watch this now. He's not interested as much in their belly as he is in their heart. See, Peter's going to have to come to a place where he understands the truth. And the truth is that we, as people, we're weak. We're liable to spit something out of our mouth. Amen. Like Peter did. Oh, if all of them goes away and forsakes you, I'll never forsake you. Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Watch this with me, please. We'll move on. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You say, Pastor, what's going on in this passage of Scripture? I'll tell you what's going on. The truth and mercy are meeting together. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Beloved, I've said this over and over, and I want to say it again. If it were me picking a man to preach on the day of Pentecost, ain't no way I'd have picked Peter. No way. I know, hands down, I would have said, John, you're my man. You're going to preach for me. John, the one that went all the way to the cross. John, the one that laid his head on his bosom. John, the one that never denied him. Amen. I'd have said, John, you're the man. I can count on you, but not God. God said, Peter, you're the man. I can't prove this, but I believe God knew that there'd be a lot more of us in this world like Peter than like John, that needed to understand that God's in the again ministry. He can come along, beloved, amen, and mercy and truth meet together and pick us up and use us for the glory of God, even after we've blown it. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, watch this, Lord, thou knowest all things. That's a happy day in a person's life when they realize that God knows all things. You know the great thing about it tonight? I realized that night when God convicted me of my sin, that he knew all things. But he still loved me. You think about that for just a moment. He knew all about my sin. He knew all about my past. And yet he come and met with me that night. And all that had to happen was for me to acknowledge the truth. And beloved, mercy came. And God had mercy on me that night. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Watch what he said. Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. I want to get to just a couple of more tonight. I'm just sharing with you as I meditated this morning and thought about the Word of God. Mercy and truth are met together. What a blessing that is tonight. Turn back in the book of John for just a moment. Turn back there in just a moment. I'm not going to go to it, but I'll just mention it quickly. The woman at the well. You remember that? You know what happened? Mercy and truth met together. He said to that woman, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've spoken truly. He said, you've had five husbands and the one you've got now is not your own. So she was truthful. And what'd she do? She ran back to town after she trusted Jesus, amen, and believed that he was the Son of God. She ran back to town and said, come see a man that told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? Mercy and truth met together. Look in John chapter 8 with me for just a moment. John chapter number 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, think about what a shame. Made a spectacle out of this woman. Put her in the middle of all those men. Put her there in the middle. Watch what the Bible said. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. As soon as I read that scripture, I want to ask this question. Where's the man? Where's he at? If it was the very act, that means he's there. How come he ain't hauled in front of Jesus? The Bible said, now Moses in the law commandeth us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? That they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, he wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That scripture is misquoted many times. They'll say, let him cast the first stone. But he said, he that's without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. Watch this now. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Wouldn't you like to know what Jesus wrote on the ground? I would. I'd give anything to... There have been funny things, you know, that said down through the years. I believe it might have been Mays Jackson years ago. It may not have been Brother Mays, but it sounds like something he'd have said. Said he might have been writing the phone numbers of their girlfriends on the ground. Amen. But anyway, watch this. The Bible said here, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man. What's the next word? Honey, she knew. She was in the presence of somebody like she had never been in the presence of before. No doubt, Brother Dale, on the way there, all she could think about is these guys is hauling her in. I've had it. I'm fixing to die. I'm going to be stoned to death for what I've done and what I've been caught in. And no doubt, beloved, listen, no doubt she had her mind made up. But you give her just a few minutes with Jesus, and the truth comes out. Amen? And when the truth comes out, here comes mercy and meets the truth right there. Say amen. And this woman, watch what the Word of God said. Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Honey, I'm telling you, this woman realizes, beloved, listen, that she was right at the doorstep of dying. And she's been given another opportunity to live. And I believe she left there not wanting to go commit adultery again, amen, but wanting, beloved, to serve the one that had forgiven her of her sin. Go and sin no more. People take a text like this and they try to say that Jesus condones adultery. They're crazy. Amen. No. Jesus is not condoning adultery. Thank God Almighty. He's forgiven adultery. Amen. That's what he's doing. Now listen to me. We might blow up men and say, well, thank God I ain't never committed adultery. Let me remind you what Jesus said. He said, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart. Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad, thank God, when we realize we're just nothing but an old sinner, the truth can meet mercy, and God can have mercy on a man's soul. Let me give you this. You could be a man that say, well, I ain't never committed adultery, and I ain't never looked on a woman to lust after. Let me give you something that'll help you. If a man offends in one point of the law, just one, he's guilty of all. When that truth comes out, mercy can meet that truth. God, I'm a sinner. Thank God He is the Savior. Amen. I believe tonight that mercy and truth have met together. There was a thief on the cross, and I'm done tonight. Throughout the crucifixion, both of those thieves were saying the same thing. If thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. Both of them saying the same thing. There comes a place, I believe it's in the book of Luke, where Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all of a sudden, one of those thieves changed his mind. He said, listen, this man's done nothing amiss. You and I deserve what we're getting. I'm paraphrasing now. And he looked over at Jesus and said, Lord, here comes the truth. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You say, Pastor, what happened there at Calvary? Mercy and truth were met together. And Jesus was able to look back at that thief and say, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. See, the truth was, you and I deserve what we're getting. But this man's done nothing amiss. The truth was, just that one word, capital L, O-R-D, Lord. He realized those people were crucifying him because he claimed to be the Son of God. And he said, you know what? I believe you are who you said you are. I believe you're the Lord. And tonight, when we come to the truth of the matter concerning our sin, coming down the roads, Jesus, with mercy. Grace, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's God giving you and I what we do not deserve. But mercy is God withholding from you and I exactly what we do deserve.
Amen.
My dad, he never met a stranger. He couldn't even go somewhere like Dollywood. He'd be sitting on the bench, and honey, they'd be all the way back in their childhood in about 30 minutes, amen, where they lived and where they farmed and everything they'd done. But I've heard my dad, if I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. How you doing, John? My dad would say, better than I deserve. Once in a while, somebody would ask Daddy, what do you mean? And Daddy was glad to explain. All I ever deserved was to die without God and go to hell. But God saved me. He had mercy on me. And I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. So it don't matter what kind of shape I get in down here, I'll always be better off than what I deserve.
Amen.
That's me tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here on Wednesday night at Bible Way with your people. Lord, it's a joy tonight. A joy to be here in the house of God. Lord, mercy and truth are met together. Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, whenever mercy and truth meet together, you're always right there. You're the one that come to us, our Lord, and helped us, like that prodigal son, to come to ourself. The Bible said he came to himself and said, I will arise. I'll go to my Father's house. Lord, I'm glad he found forgiveness at the Father's house. I'm glad he found mercy. Father, tonight I just pray that in this meeting, Lord, there could be someone here tonight that needs to find that mercy, that realizes the truth, Lord, the truth concerning sin, the truth concerning the Savior. And Lord, tonight could be the night that mercy and truth would meet together. Our heads are bowed tonight, our eyes are closed, no one looking around.